From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, the founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, He freely gives. The text is Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If this is not a promise in form, it is in fact. Indeed, it is more than one promise. It is a conglomerate of promises. It is a mass of rubies and emeralds and diamonds with a nugget of gold for their setting. It is a question which can never be answered so as to cause us any anxiety of heart. What can the Lord deny us after giving us Jesus? If we need all things in heaven and earth, He will grant them to us. For if there had been a limit anywhere, He would have kept back His own Son. What do I want today? I have only to ask for it. I may seek earnestly, but not as if I had to use pressure and extort an unwilling gift from the Lord's hand, for He will give freely. Of His own will He gave us His own Son. Certainly no one would have proposed such a gift to Him. No one would have ventured to ask for it. It would have been too presumptuous. He freely gave His only begotten, and O my soul, canst thou not trust thy heavenly Father to give thee anything, to give thee everything? Thy poor prayer would have no force with omnipotence, if force were needed. But His love, like a spring, rises of itself and overflows for the supply of all thy needs.
Lord, you are my
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. Continuing his series of studies of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Person and Work of Christ is the Very Substance of the Gospel. We live in an age when there is much confusion and misunderstanding about the gospel. On the one hand, there are preachers who emphasize only the death of Christ to the exclusion of his earthly life and what that means for his people. Then there are those who proclaim a message designed to make their listeners feel good about themselves, completely ignoring the need to address the claims of God's law and the terrible fate that awaits sinners who die without repentance and faith in Christ. Considering the eternal implications for immortal souls, it is imperative that men and women have a clear and accurate understanding of the gospel. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, The Person and Work of Christ, the Very Substance of the Gospel of Saving Grace.
Romans chapter 1. Remember some weeks ago when we started these studies, I quoted the opinion of Martin Luther that every Christian should memorize the book of Romans in its entirety. I have to confess, I have not been able thus far to do that. And I doubt that I will live long enough to do that, given my state of memory. It would take me to live to the age of Methuselah. But there are great passages in Romans. Well, let me rephrase that. Amidst all the great passage that makes up Romans, There are passages that lend themselves to being memorized. And the opening chapter is one of those passages, especially the first half of the chapter. It is really quite easy to memorize the first 17 or 18 verses of this chapter. Now, we're going through the chapter quite slowly, and therefore that gives you many, many opportunities to memorize. And I trust that as we read together, you will seek to commit these words to memory. The opening verses again of Romans chapter 1. We're reading the first seven verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. This evening, we mark real progress in Romans chapter 1 because in the sixth study, we now reach verses 3 and 4. We intend to take them together, but whether we get them all through tonight or not, the Lord knows. We will find out in due course. Verse 1 ends with the words, the gospel of God. Verse 2 is placed in parentheses in our English translation so that we may make the direct connection between the end of verse 1, the beginning of verse 3. So let's read it that way. The gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Actually, let me read the words in the order in which they appear in the Greek text. For translation purposes, this is absolutely right. And it shouldn't be otherwise, for many reasons I'll not go into now. But just to let you see the force and feel the emphasis where Paul placed it, he spoke of the gospel of God concerning his Son, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how Paul wrote it. And I like that for the simple reason that it places the emphasis where it ought to be and where we will seek to place it tonight. He's dealing further with the gospel. And he says it concerns his Son. And he tells us a lot about the person and the doings of the Son. Then he finishes by focusing our attention upon the Lord, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the gospel is simply the good news of how God righteously justifies sinners. That is how he, a God of truth and righteousness, can declare ungodly, guilty sinners righteous. That's the gospel. How he can do that is the substance, essence of the gospel. Now, let that statement arrest our attention, as it ought to do. For it shows us that salvation is a divine miracle. Think of this. God is holy. He is of purer eyes than complacently to behold iniquity. Even the heavens are unclean in His sight. God is holy. God is just. And God is true. We are unholy. We are ungodly. We are unrighteous. So the question that must be answered is, how can God remain true to His own nature? How can God, without compromising His own holiness, justice, or truth, as our judge, pass a sentence of acquittal and indeed of acceptance upon us sinners, declaring us to be perfectly, absolutely righteous in His sight? That is the question of the ages. If you know the answer to that question, you know the gospel. If you have experienced the answer to that question, you have experienced the gospel. And insofar as you fudge the answer to that question, to that degree, you are in ignorance of the gospel. This is the question that the gospel of Jesus Christ addresses and, thank God, answers. If you go back in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may recollect the occasion when the rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus, asking what he must do to be saved. When the Lord Jesus allowed that young ruler, that very upright, moral, law-abiding, devout man, to go away rich but ruined, he told his disciples that it was hard for such a man ever to be saved. And the disciples were immediately amazed and confused. To them, the rich young ruler represented all that was best in man. And if any man could be saved, in their estimation, it would have been this rich young ruler. Yet here was the Lord Jesus Christ saying, in effect, that it was almost impossible for him to be saved. So in desperation, the disciples turned to the Savior and they said, "Who then can be saved?" Do you get not only the desperation, but in their answer, their question to Christ? You've just said, such a person, it's almost impossible to see him saved. Who then can be saved? We may well share their desperation, not just about the religious man, such as the rich young ruler, but about all men, all sinners, including ourselves. If God is holy, if God is just, and if God is true, and if we are depraved and ungodly and unrighteous, how can any of us ever be saved? Christ's answer to the disciples is significant. With men, it is impossible. I want you to know that. The world has never found a way of suggesting an answer or a way of salvation for sinners. Not one single religion that the world has ever produced has come within a million miles of suggesting an answer of how sinners can be saved that does not dethrone God, deny God, and despise the holy attributes of God. Not one. With man, it's impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. In other words, while it is impossible for sinners to save themselves, it is possible for God in His infinite wisdom and in His infinite power to save sinners, to remain just, as Romans 3:26 puts it, just and yet to justify the ungodly. None but He can do such a miracle. And that's why Paul calls the gospel of God. It's God's gospel. But he also calls it the gospel of Christ. Because God's plan depends totally and entirely upon the person and on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the great truth that verses 3 and 4 expound. The gospel reveals how a righteous God righteously declares sinners righteous. That's what the gospel tells us. This is the only message. This is the force of verses 3 and 4. This is the only message that does justice to the truth about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Stop and think of it. Without Paul's great statement of the gospel, without this understanding of the gospel for what it really is, we would be hard-pressed to say why God's eternal Son had to be made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Apart from understanding the gospel, we'd be hard-pressed to explain the significance of Christ's life on earth. In fact, I'm going to launch out on a limb here and don't want to sound overcritical. But it is one of the great weaknesses of evangelical preaching nowadays that the way of salvation has focused almost entirely upon the death of Christ and has had no understanding whatsoever of the life of Christ. Now, I will be the last one to complain if somebody preaches biblically about Christ's death. I love to hear sermons about the blood, about the cross. And if you have been very long in attendance in this place, I think you'll be able to bear witness that this is a pulpit that never is silent about the cross or the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it ever does go silent on that, I hope that God burns it to the ground. It doesn't deserve to exist. But if any man seeks to preach the cross without understanding the significance of the life of Christ, he will end up not only omitting the life and its significance, he will end up perverting the doctrine and the message of the cross. You can't separate the one from the other. But unless you understand what Paul is talking about in this gospel that we're looking at in the Epistle to the Romans, you'd be hard put to say what the significance of Christ's life on earth was, or to appreciate all that the Bible says about his death, or to grasp the significance of his resurrection. So tonight, I want us to consider the teaching of this text, which is about the gospel of God that concerns God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. In other words, I want us to think upon the person and work of Christ as the very substance of the gospel of justifying grace.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408, or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.